We don't just call Thomas Thomas, but we call him Doubting Thomas. Have you ever wondered why? Other than the fact that he doubted, I mean, we don't use an insult to talk about any of the other disciples, even though they sinned at times. You think of Peter, he denied knowing Jesus three times, and we don't call Peter denying Peter. Or Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss in the Garden of Gethsemane, and yet we don't refer to Judas as betraying Judas. But Thomas, because he doubted on that first Easter evening, now has been stuck with the moniker that has been repeated for 2,000 years, Doubting Thomas. It's not as though Thomas were the only disciple that was doubting on that first Easter evening. In fact, the gospel writer Luke tells us, in referring to that same evening, as Jesus appeared to his disciples, he said, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds?" It wasn't just Thomas that was having trouble believing that Jesus had risen from the dead. It was all of Jesus' disciples, all of his followers that first Easter evening were trying to put together all the facts, all the things they had heard. And as they do that, not only were they still troubled by the fact that their master and their teacher had died, but now doubts were rising in their minds. Doubts over perhaps who Jesus was and what he had accomplished. Doubts over the stories they had heard and the accounts they had heard from some of the other disciples and the women. Doubt is a bit of an insidious creature, isn't it? Just think of all that doubt brings with it. Anxiety, worry. We're told the disciples' hearts were troubled. Causes us to be anxious, ties our stomachs in knots because of doubt. The disciples doubted. Perhaps they weren't sure which end was up on that first Easter evening. After all, they had spent 3 years with a man, called him Master and Lord, had been convinced of the fact that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, had gotten to the point where they said, "Jesus, you are the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, the one whom God had promised." And then, in the matter of 18 hours, had those hopes dashed. Then had spent 3 days trying to put together all the pieces of what this meant. And how could possibly the words Jesus had spoken here on earth during those 3 years they had spent with him actually be true and right if now he's lying in a grave just outside of Jerusalem? Doubts. Maybe Jesus wasn't who he said he was. Doubt is a rather insidious creature. Then that evening, Jesus gives them proof, doesn't he? He comes to the disciples while they're behind locked doors. He says, "Peace be with you." And he shows them his hands and his side. And the disciples are overjoyed when they see that their Savior is alive. But poor Thomas, huh? Steps out for a few moments that evening and comes back to find out that in those minutes he was gone, Jesus appeared to the rest of the disciples. And you can imagine the joy that was clearly on the faces of the disciples, and yet Thomas knew Jesus had died. And people don't just come back from the dead. And so Thomas becomes that dyed-in-the-wool skeptic and says, I need proof. He says, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. The answer in Thomas's mind to the doubts that he had about Jesus and all that had gone on the past 3 days was proof. I need proof. I want something real, something I can see and touch. After all, seeing is believing. Doubt is an insidious creature in our lives because, well, the 11 disciples weren't the only disciples of Jesus who have doubted. Doesn't take much for us to doubt. Perhaps we doubt God's promises that doubt God's promises of His power and how He promises to work all things out for our good. We doubt that doubt God's power, and so we don't pray. We don't take things to Him in prayer. Or perhaps we doubt God's promise to always be with us. And so we feel as though we're all alone. We doubt God's power, His promises to forgive, and so we dwell on past sins, let the devil dredge up past guilt, throw them back on our shoulders instead of leaving them at the cross, all because we doubt God's forgiveness. Or perhaps there are situations and things that happen in life that cause us to doubt. A freshly dug grave. Children that just won't listen. Peers that mock. Friends that betray. All things that might cause us to doubt God and His love for us. In fact, they may even push us to the point where we say, well, God must be mad at me. Or God must be upset. Or God must not be here. And just like that, doubts rise up in our hearts and in our minds. Perhaps even to the point of, like Thomas, where we demand proof from God that He still loves us, that He's still with us, that He still has our best interests in heart. Lord, if You still love me, and just like that, doubt has crowded into our hearts. Did you notice how Christ handled Thomas? Thomas and the other 10 disciples were doubting. But when Jesus appeared that week after Easter, it's not as though He slapped Thomas upside the back of his head and said, why in the world were you doubting? He doesn't abandon Thomas in that sea of doubt Thomas was swimming in. But instead, Jesus comes to Thomas and shows him His hands and His side and says, look, here, put your fingers where the nail holes were. Put your hand into My side. Christ deals with His doubting brother gently and lovingly. It's the way Jesus deals with us in our doubts. He comes to us and points us to our Savior and says, look, Jesus has conquered sin and death, and now Christ is risen. Risen indeed. Good, you're still on your toes. That's good. Because He's alive, we know our sin and our guilt has been dealt with. that as the devil brings it up, we have an answer to him. It's been dealt with in Christ. My sin is forgiven. Sin has been dealt with. Guilt is gone. Jesus comes to us in His Word and He shows us His hands and His side and says, put your fingers here, put your hand into my side. See, it is I myself, I am alive. And with Christ's resurrection, doubts begin to disappear. Because it means that God has kept His promises. The promises He's given to us in His Word. The promise to send a Savior. The promise to be with us. The promise to forgive us. The promise never to leave us or forsake us. The promise to work all things out for our good. All promises that God can keep. If God kept His promise to send His Son to forgive all of our sins, doubt begins to disappear. One of the books I read this week in preparing for our message this morning, the author put it this way. He takes your doubts and your fears and your shame and your bitterness, and he makes them his own. And he takes his faith and his hope and his life and his joy and his glory, and he makes them your own. He doesn't remove your outward troubles. He gives you something better. Inward peace. He may leave in place your dysfunctional family, your disease, your addiction, your pain, but he will not leave in a place, he will not leave in place a heart empty of peace. For that's what he's all about. Giving you the peace that passes understanding. The kind of peace that knows that no matter how unfaithful you have been, God will never be unfaithful to you. The kind of peace that knows no matter how great your sin, Christ's love is always greater. The kind of peace that knows no matter how bad this world may get at times, any suffering here is not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. That's the kind of peace Christ gives. Peace of heart when surrounded by 10,000 enemies. At peace. It's where Jesus left his disciples. Jesus was alive. Sin was paid for the Savior had conquered. At peace. It's where Jesus leaves you and me. Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Because He's risen, our sin has been paid for. Our guilt has been taken care of and dealt with. It means Jesus is always with us. It means His promises to us are always good. It means Jesus will keep His promises. And with that comes peace. It's why we spend 50 days celebrating Easter. We spend 50 days celebrating the fact that our Redeemer lives. He lives to give us proof, and with that proof, He lives to give us peace. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Alleluia. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond our understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.